But the question is, do you have any true sons or daughters in the faith? Are you mentoring any younger people for Christ?
Hello and welcome to Living God's Way, coming to you from the Germantown Christian Assembly in the Mount Airy section of Philadelphia. In an age when many are abandoning Christian values, Pastor Brian Grant's expository preaching from the timeless Word of God will remind us that the best way to live is to live God's way. Geared to the times, but anchored to the book. That's the theme of Pastor Brian Grant's message we will hear this evening. In these times when truth seems so relative to one's opinion, and churches that once taught the truth of God's Word are either closing or abandoning the life-changing gospel for something else, Pastor Brian is saying it's time to stand up for the faith delivered once and for all to the church. Listen with us now as Pastor Grant brings the first part of his message, A Call to Spiritual Revival.
My wife and I were spending a relaxing afternoon in New Hope, Pennsylvania. And after enjoying a walk by the river, and if you've never been there, it's a good place to go. Just hang out for a moment and hang out by the river and take your picture in between Pennsylvania and New Jersey as you stand on the bridge. But you know, as we waited, we decided to have dinner after we took a walk around town. We decided to have dinner, and we found a nice, cute little restaurant. I don't remember the name of the restaurant, and if I did give you the name, I may have had to charge for advertising. But as we were waiting for appetizers, I noticed that some of the seats in the restaurant looked like some of the church benches from my childhood that taught me how to pray in church. You say, how did these benches teach you how to pray in church? Those benches were so rock hard, I tell you. Once I arrived in church, I had to pray, particularly when it was time for the preacher, because there is no way you could last if the preacher went on for long. And I knew that if I ever stood up to take a bottom break, my father would not be a happy camper and I would be in trouble. So you better believe I learned to pray in church. Well, after my reunion with these benches from hell, I noticed that the restaurant also had some beautiful stained glass windows. It suddenly hit me. Guess where I was? I was in church. I was back to church. I was about to pay $75 to eat in church. But instead of fried chicken, the only good thing was instead of fried chicken, I was going to get lobster. But unfortunately, I wasn't even going to have a chance to go back and get seconds as you can in church. Well, sadly, thousands of churches are dying every year. And as a result, many church buildings have become condos, they have become restaurants, they have become coffee shops, they have become gymnasiums, and they've even become nightclubs. I'm sure Satan is thrilled that so many churches are closing. Literally, thousands of churches are closing every year. But despite Satan's seeming success, he will never destroy God's church. For in Matthew 16, Jesus said he was going to build his church, and he said the gates of hell will not prevail against it. Amen? Satan, come on now, Satan cannot destroy God's church, but he has been very successful in getting Christians to replace God's blueprint for the church with their own opinion. And sadly, that's where the church is today. And sadly, for the last 50 years or so, it's been taking hold in the church, where the church of Christ has been putting aside God's blueprint for the church. And we're making up our own opinion. And today I'd like to share a message with you entitled, A Call to Spiritual Renewal.
The book of 1 Timothy provides the most specific instructions in the entire Bible on how the church should operate. You may or may not realize that. We said that during a series we had here on 1 Timothy. But the 1 Timothy provides the most specific instructions in the entire Bible on how the church should operate. And so today I want to focus on 1 Timothy to share with you four commitments that I believe God is calling every Christian to make. I want to start by putting on the screen the key verse in the entire book of 1 Timothy. And I'd like us to read this verse together. 1 Timothy chapter 3, verse 15. 1 Timothy chapter 3, verse 15. Would you read this verse? Let's read it together. I write so that you may know how you ought to conduct yourself in the house of God, which is the church of the living God, the pillar and the ground of the truth. If you're taking notes, please write this. 1 Timothy provides the most specific instructions in the entire Bible on how the church should operate. God's word is timeless, and the instructions Paul gave to Timothy are just as important today as they were in AD 65 when this was written. So here's the first point I want you to write down. Here is the first commitment. Write this down. A commitment to patiently develop the next generation. 1 Timothy chapter 1, verses 1 and 2, read this way. Paul, an apostle of Jesus Christ, by the commandment of God our Savior and the Lord Jesus Christ our hope, to Timothy, a true son in the faith, grace, mercy, and peace from God our Father and Jesus Christ our Lord. Listen, God is calling every Christian to be engaged in making sure we develop the next generation. Too often in churches, we only want to concentrate on people my age and older. And unless we start making sure we develop the next generation, the church is going to... And churches are dying. The reason some of the churches are dying because it became an old folks club and the folks started dying. And we are committed to making sure that does not happen here at GCA. Amen. You know, in Matthew's Gospel 28, verse 19, Jesus commanded us to go and make disciples of all nations. And the Apostle Paul was one of the very first apostles to start developing the next generation. So look at verse 2. Timothy, Paul writes and he says to Timothy, a true son in the faith. Paul is not saying that Timothy got saved under his ministry. That's not what he's talking about, because many believe that Timothy was already saved when Paul met him. What Paul is saying is he regards Timothy, he's treating Timothy as one of his sons. And so when Timothy was 16 years old, Paul started mentoring him, seeking to develop him so that he could fulfill his spiritual potential. So here's an important question for those of us who have been saved for a while. Do you have any true sons or daughters in the faith? Come on now. Do you? You know, I've been invited to a couple, at one of the churches that I'm going to be doing a seminar for later on this year. We started talking along this line. I think they were getting a little nervous that I'm bringing this topic to the church. But the question is, do you have any true sons or daughters in the faith? Are you mentoring any younger people for Christ? Do you know if you invited them for tea or ice cream, they may actually come. The Christian church is desperately in need of spiritually mature brothers and sisters who are willing to invest time to help develop the next generation. And so the question is, are you willing to get involved? By the way, let's not require that they do everything the way we did it. Some of you may be shocked to hear me, a guy who likes the old-time way. But yes, I'm saying it. Let's not require that the younger generation, that they do everything the way we did it. The key is they must do it within the bounds of Scripture. Amen? Everything is okay. Listen, it has to be within the bounds of Scripture. Scripture sets the boundaries, but we have an incredible amount of flexibility. Amen? So write this down. You've heard me say this before. Listen, although our message cannot change, our methods must change. I'm actually saying it must change. Can you imagine what we'd be doing if everybody decided, oh, I know some people don't like that we're preaching from the New King James Version. They say we have to use the Old Testament, the King James Version. Give me a break. God did not drop the King James Version from heaven. He used men and women to translate from the original text to the King James Version. And the same God who did that can give people the wisdom to translate to the New King James and the NLT. What you want to make sure is you have a real version and not a transliteration. You know, there are some transliterations where one man picks up a Bible and then he or she decides they're going to put the Bible in modern day language. Be very careful about those because you end up with one person's opinion. But when a whole group of scholars go and try to go back to the original text that they have and translate, hey, these are texts that we can use. So although our message cannot change, our methods must change. And as Youth for Christ used to say, write this down, we must be geared to the times, but what? Anchored to the rock, amen? Geared to the times, anchored to the rock. And I want to applaud the younger generation as they are taking more responsibility for getting us out there on the internet. And I'm excited to see more and more things being posted. And I encourage all of us to engage. Do you know it would be an encouragement to you, to them, if some of us who are on Facebook would engage our own church? I have seen where the younger generation have asked questions and none of us respond. What a thing it would be if we would start engaging our own folks who are trying to reach their generation. What a thrill it would be. So I challenge you, my brothers and sisters, you're on Facebook. Make sure you're on the GCA page. Make sure you're posting stuff. Make sure you're spreading the stuff that we're trying to do. Amen. We must have a commitment to patiently develop the next generation. But listen, mentoring will require two important commitments from the younger generation. So young people, are you ready? There's more, but I only want to leave you with two. Here is one of the commitments that the younger generation must make. Put this down. A commitment to investing time to develop in God's word. If you don't know God's word, you could be a hazard. Amen? A little boy fell out of the bed while sleeping. His father picked him up and asked him, what happened? The little boy responded, I fell out because I was sleeping too close to where I got in. You got it? There are too many Christians sticking too close to where they got in. Amen? There is hardly any growth. Yes, I'm saved and I'm on my way to heaven, but God doesn't expect us to get saved and be on our way to heaven and just stay by the edge of the bed. Amen? We need to grow. We need to get into the Word of God. We need to be progressing little by little every day. There ought to be progress. And I'm going to suggest to my young friends that since most of you know my wife and I, we're very involved. The young people come over to our home all the while for Bible study and whatever. And I'm so glad that we have young adult Bible studies and teen Bible studies and all that. What's that? Of course, somebody's trying to get me to give a promo to let you know the Bible study is this Friday. But as much as I am excited about that, I am actually disappointed that the young adults have not really recognized the need that they really need to also get into the adult Bible studies. Because, my brothers and sisters, we need to grow. And the Bible studies, you know, I didn't have the privilege to go to seminary, but I am so grateful that I am part of a church that is serious about Bible study, and I have learned so much attending the Bible studies at this church. Listen, they are amazing. You will learn. You will grow. And so I want to encourage all the younger generation to take the time to join the Bible studies. We have so many. We got 5 that will start in a week or two. The whole number of them are on Zoom. So Lord Brother Daryl is concerned. Not a lot of people are here. There are over 100 people on the Bible studies on Zoom. And listen, if you want to connect at home. Some of you are wherever you may be listening to me, no matter where you are welcome to come and join our Bible studies. But listen, we need to make sure, young people, we need to make sure that we have a commitment to spiritual growth. Amen? But here's a second thing. We must also have a determination to walk in humility. A determination to walk in humility. Many of you have had educational opportunities and job opportunities that my generation may not have had. But always remain humble. For God will not use the proud. You know, that's one of the things that Satan does. You know, sometimes he makes you figure, I got so much more education than this other person. One of my best Bible teachers when growing up never ever went to high school. But he knew God's word, and I tell you, he could teach the word of God. What an incredible servant of God. So many thousands and thousands of people came to Christ through his preaching. It was just an honor for me to have been asked to be the speaker at his homegoing to go back to Jamaica to share in that. What a man of God he was. Very little education. When you see it with his handwriting, we have a saying, crab toe. His writing was so bad. But what a servant of God. And so listen, let us have a determination to walk in humility. Look, hold your Bible where we are and flip over to James chapter 4 and underline this verse in James chapter 4 verse 6. James chapter 4 verse 6. If it was Bible, so I'd ask somebody to read out loud, but I better read it myself. But he gives more grace. Therefore, he says, God what? Resists the proud, but gives grace to the humble. God resists the proud. Young people, older folks, make sure we resist the temptation to be proud, and let us make sure we walk in humility. First, a commitment to patiently developing the next generation. But secondly, a commitment, as I'm back to my subject, a commitment to holiness and doctrinal purity. Amen. If we're going to set the correct course, we must have a commitment to holiness and doctrinal purity. Let's go back to 1 Timothy chapter 1, verse 3. As the Apostle Paul writes Timothy, he writes and he says, as I urged you when I went into Macedonia, remain in Ephesus that you may charge some that they teach no other doctrine, nor give heed to fables and endless genealogies which cause disputes rather than godly edification which is in faith. All sorts of stuff was going on in the church at Ephesus. Some of them were teaching error, but Timothy had not corrected them. We're living in an age where sin is being accepted and error is rapidly spreading in the church. Who would ever believe the church would install homosexual pastors? Who would ever believe that the church would start preaching that Mormons, Muslims, and Hindus are all on the way to heaven, even though they reject Christ? I don't know if you realize that's going on now. That Christian churches, you hear them on TV, are now preaching that if they're sincere about being a Mormon or sincere about being a Hindu, they're on their way to heaven. You know, it's great to live in peace with everyone, but please write this down. We should never condone sin or false teaching in order to keep the peace. Amen? We should never condone sin or false teaching to keep the peace. As you study 1 Timothy, by the way, it's no wonder the church is in the mess it is. Because the church, instead of standing on the word of God, we're into everything. We are agreeing to everything. We want to keep the peace. We're trying to get a big tent. You know, the Lord Jesus said, broad is the way that leads to destruction. It says narrow is the way that leads to life eternal. Young people, listen, the road to heaven is not a broad road. It's a narrow road. And because the only way to heaven is a road that leads by the cross. Amen. The cross that we celebrated this morning, where Jesus Christ died for our sin. Amen.
My friend, Jesus loves you so much that if you were the only person in the whole world, he would have died just for you. No matter what you've done, Jesus wants to save you. He wants to forgive you today. You say, Pastor Grant, what do I need to be saved? You simply need to trust the Lord Jesus, repent of your sin, and turn to him. You may pray a simple prayer like this. Dear God, I'm a sinner and need your forgiveness. Thank you that Jesus died for my sins. Please cleanse me from all my sin. I receive Jesus Christ into my heart as my personal Savior and Lord. Please help me to live for you from this day forward. Amen. And my friend, if you pray a simple prayer like that and mean it, God will hear you and he will answer your prayer and he will save you. I hope you'll do that right now.
Thanks for tuning in today. If you received Christ or if this program was a blessing, it would be a great encouragement to hear from you. You may call us at 215-242-5550 or visit our website, livinggodsway.org. We'd also invite your partnership in this life-changing ministry. Gifts can be made through our website or by writing us at 610 East Mount Pleasant Avenue, Philadelphia, Pennsylvania, 19119. The address again is 610 East Mount Pleasant Avenue, Philadelphia, Pennsylvania, 19119. We invite you to join us for online worship this Sunday at 10 o'clock a.m. at livinggodsway.org. That's livinggodsway.org. It would be a pleasure to have you as part of our online audience. Now, until next week, on behalf of Pastor Grant and our entire church family, this is Steve Washington reminding you that there's no better way to live than to live God's way.